just how much we love you, and I'm sure you would agree. What could fit more perfectly than to have a world party on the day you came to be? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Good afternoon. This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, and distinguished lecturer emeritus from York College, City University of New York, welcoming you to this January 17th, Martin Luther King Day, Ready for the Revolution edition of Vantage Point here on 99.5 FM. That's WBAI on the Pacifica Network in collaboration with ycradio.org. Well, we want to continue the Martin Luther King Day programming today. Thought we'd give a shout out by way of Stevie Wonder to Dr. Martin Luther King. We have to give a little bit of an apology because, we pump out our promos for our show all across the country and indeed all across the world. And so we do have a stellar group of people lined up to talk about Dr. Martin Luther King on the theme Ready for the Revolution, using his quote, a revolution of values, as the basis for our discussion. And so we were to have lined up Dr. Julianne Malvo, joining us shortly, Dean of the College of Ethnic Studies at Cal State LA, Dr. Ife Williams, National President of the National Congress of Black Women. She's from D.C. Both of them are on our sister station, WPFW. Bill Fletcher, formerly on our sister station, WPFW, labor and social justice activist, will be calling in, as well as Earl Ofari Hutchinson, who is no stranger to our microphones, who is also with our sister station in L.A. We were supposed to have had four other distinguished guests, but somehow there was a little confusion, and so I thought we had 2 hours. We only have one. Another Power Washer show coming up behind us. And so perhaps next week we'll be able to hear from Reverend Robert Turner, senior pastor of the Empowerment Temple in Baltimore, Maryland, but previously the pastor of Vernon AME Church in Tulsa, the last remaining structure, his church foundation, from the Tulsa Massacre and Reverend Charles Boyer, founder of Salvation and Justice from Woodbury, New Jersey. And, of course, Philip Agnew, one of the founders of the Dream Defenders, now working with an organization called Black Man Bill from Miami, Florida, and Pastor Michael McBride, executive director of the Live Free campaign from Oakland, California. Well, that was supposed to be our lineup for today. We won't be able to get them all in, but we'll move ahead with what we do have, and we do want to support the drive today, the drive for the Tower Fund campaign that we have on in order to pay for the tower. And so therefore, we are going to offer for those who do make a donation today of any amount above $25, I'm going to start it with $100, a Vantage Point Agenda Power Pack Agenda, a 5-CD set, which I'll describe later. But you can begin to line up even now. I mean, it's really not about the premium. It's really about our willingness to support WBAI. So 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. You can call and you can say you're making your donation and your donation by way of Vantage Point, and tell them about the Vantage Point MLK Agenda Pack, which has 5 CDs in it, an incredible array of speeches on this day. We really should be talking to our kids and working with our our families to talk about Martin Luther King and what he represented and what we ought to be doing with Martin Luther King now in terms of the work that we are about to do and should be doing. In this era where there's so many issues which are of grave concern. So we will indeed hear from Earl Ofari Hutchinson, Bill Fletcher, and we will also be hearing from Dr. Julianne Malvo and Dr. Ife Williams. They'll be coming up in order during the course of the next 45 minutes or so And I'll be coming back to you with pitches in between. And we hope that you will indeed be supportive of the Tower Fund. And by the way, you can also go to Tower Fund, Tower Fund, one word, towerfund.bai.org. Tower Fund dot towerfund.wbai.org in order to also make your contribution to the Tower Fund. And we really, 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 really want to get beyond this whole thing of having to, you know, be dependent on debt, indebtedness, or having to deal with indebtedness. And now I understand we're joined by Earl Ilfari Hutchinson. Earl, thank you for joining us today. How are you?
Very good. And yourself, Ron? Very, very good.
Great, great, great. Well, Earl, we, again, thank you so much for participating. And then let I, you know, for whatever reason, I always get the L.A. station and the Berkeley station's call letters mixed up. So I've bragged about you, said you're a part of obviously you do the Hutchinson Report, which is a spectacular program. But what are the call letters for our affiliate out there in L.A.?
KPFK, Berkeley, KPFA.
All right, we got it. So anyway, Earl, again, we're doing a rapid-fire show today. Actually, Bill Fletcher is going to be calling in a few minutes. But I want to get your take. You saw the quote that we put out on King's Revolution of Values, and I labeled the show today, Ready for the Revolution. That's really Stokely Carmichael, a.k.a. or Kwame Ture, a.k.a. Stokely Carmichael, who always talked about being ready for the revolution. From the vantage point of the work that you do, which is expansive, and all the crises we face, what does that quote mean to you, the whole quote on the revolution of values which we put out?
King was a moral man above everything else. When we really look at King's legacy, and that legacy is still very much a part of our, you know, the American political, economic, and social tapestry of today, he really always looked at everything from the perspective of not good and evil per se, but what is right, just, truth, and equitable. So to me, when you talk about morality and a moral person, it's not an abstract concept. It's a living, breathing, working concept, a concept that someone is actively working to make happen. So I don't think there's any doubt when we look at King's life from a moral perspective. The revolution of values that he talked about continually, I think, was very much there. But it was a living presence. In all of the things that he did, in all of the activism of Dr. King, and I mean, it would take hours, but I think that we basically know that when you had an issue involving race, an issue involving wealth inequality, an issue involving, particularly toward the end of his life, poverty, and above all else, war and peace, violence and combating violence, not only in this country, but globally, you're talking about the essence of a moral person. So King to me was not an abstraction when you talk about the revolution of values and morality, living, breathing, working, activist presence, always.
And so today, Earl, there's so many crises that we face, voting rights, the whole issue of the crime bill that has yet to be passed, reparations, climate change, what I would call the machinations to establish white minority rule.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on what you feel we should be doing, how should we be functioning? And on this day, what should we be reflecting on, and how should we be moving forward?
Well, you know, the King Center, every year, and they've been doing this for many, many years, they always put out a thing, you know, leading up to the King holiday. It's not a day to go shopping. It's not a day to sit back and watch sitcoms. It's not a day to go to, if you're in a warmer climate, go to the beach. It's not a day to goof off. It's not a day to relax. It's a working day. I like that slogan. Not a day off, but a day on. And a day on is whatever you do, whatever your endeavor is, going out, volunteering, perhaps helping, you know, distribute food and clothing to the homeless, engage with in a voter activity, registering people. If you're an educator, of course, dealing with young people, that's in some capacity, religious leaders, you know, actually preaching, not just, you know, about God and heaven, but also the message of Dr. King, activism, engaging the church, engaging religion. So I think the whole point is this. On a day like today, it is a day for renewal. It is a day to understand what King and his life meant, namely struggle, challenge, engagement, mobilizing, activism. So whatever your field is, or whatever your inclination is, I think these are the kinds of things that we need to really reflect on and act on King Day.
All right. You're listening to Earl of Fry Hutchinson. We expect to hear from Bill Fletcher momentarily. He was on another program in a MLK Day forum. So we'll be looking to hear from him. Let me just quickly read the quotation, which I alluded to. And I guess Bill is on. Okay. King says, we as a nation must undergo a radical revolution of values. We must rapidly begin to shift from a thing-oriented society to a person-oriented society. When machines and computers and profit motives and property rights are considered more important than people, the giant triplets of racism, materialism, and militarism are incapable of being conquered. True compassion, he said, is more than flinging a coin to a beggar. It is not haphazard or superficial. It comes to see that an edifice which produces beggars needs restructuring. A true revolution of values will soon look uneasily on the glaring contrasts of poverty and wealth. A nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death. That is beyond his Beyond Vietnam speech delivered April 4th, 1967 at the Riverside Church. Bill Fletcher is joining us, a veteran social justice, labor and social justice activist, former president of the Trans Africa Forum, but also an author, a commentator, and many, many other things. Bill, from a labor perspective, I would just ask you what would be on the table for Martin Luther King in this era?
Well, so first, thanks again for having me on. And Earl, always good hearing your voice.
Yes.
You know,
Thank you, Bill.
I think it's important for the listeners to understand that Dr. King was probably the greatest labor leader of the 20th century. He's identified as a civil rights leader, but from the very beginning, issues of class were central to Dr. King. He was always looking to fuse the trade union movement and the civil rights movement to become a real social and economic justice movement. And in that sense, he was way ahead of some of the most radical elements within organized labor, because he was looking not just at the institutions of trade unionism, but he was looking at the issue of how do you build a movement that can actually transform the United States. And part of the problem, I think, for many people, and I include myself when I was much younger, in listening to King talking about values, I misread that. And I thought about that in almost exclusively religious terms, and it just felt like moralism. Whereas what he was actually talking about was transforming the very notion that the United States was built upon. And that is what made him, in fact, a revolutionary, that he wasn't a reformist and he wasn't a pacifist. He was in favor of nonviolent struggle. But when you read, for instance, his the full context of his "I Have a Dream" speech, it is incredibly militant and anti-white supremacist. It's an incredible indictment of U.S. history. It's not just about having a dream about kids. It's something far more profound. And I think that's what we should be keeping in mind on this day.
Excellent, Bill. And again, I confess of being in that same school. I you know, was a disciple of Malcolm, and then, you know, respected King certainly, but did not really appreciate until much later, when I really, really scrutinized what he was talking about, the degree to which, you know, Martin Luther King was evolving, but evolving certainly in a truly revolutionary manner, that is to say, seeking to transform fundamentally the nature of the American state. I mean, that statement in true compassion is more than flinging a coin at a beggar, to paraphrase, it comes to understand that a edifice that produces beggars needs restructuring. I mean, that's a radical idea. He's talking about, you know, we got to, this system needs to fundamentally be changed. And Earl, I guess while that idea is out here, what we're facing, it seems, however, is the counter-revolution, something that is completely contrary to that, and that is the whole notion of a kind of white nationalist, MAGA-motivated goal to achieve white minority rule. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt about that. I do want to say one thing about the speech. The speech that Dr. King gave at the Riverside Church, April 4th, 1967, I've said over and over again, I can't tell you how many times down through the years I've played excerpts, sometimes even the whole speech, as I did this past weekend on my show. I've always said that's the greatest speech that any American orator, you'd have to go all the way back to Frederick Douglass and his speeches to find the speech that tied it all together. Everything that Bill said is correct. Economic and social justice, a global view, not just domestic, but a global view of that revolution, not only of values, but a transformative revolution in terms of societies, materialism, wealth, poverty, violence, war and peace, justice. They were all there in that speech. Greatest speech, you know, in terms of any orator, I think, in American history outside of Frederick Douglass and a couple of others. So when we look at the counter-revolution, is it really a counter-revolution, Ron and Bill, or is it just really a continuation of something that has been very endemic in the American social structure, economic structure, and certainly racial structure from day one? We've always had white supremacy in one form or another in terms of how it manifests itself structurally. I think what Trump did was, and I can't get away from that 74 million plus that voted for him, I can't get away from the fact that he just brought something to the surface that was always lurking very close to the surface. And mainly that is, we're on top, you're on the bottom, we being, of course, whites, and I don't want to say generic whites, but those of that perspective, and, of course, everyone else, people of color, women, you name it, across the board. So I think what we're just seeing is a continuation of something that's always been deep in American society, i.e. that separation racially, and that tendency and that grasp for dominance, be it economic, be it social, and particularly now with the battle over voting rights, political.
Bill, your thoughts in terms as we kind of conclude this, begin to conclude this segment, what's the way forward?
Well, let me just add to what Earl was saying, and put it maybe in crass terms. The movement that we're looking at right now is a particular variant of exactly what Earl was identifying, and it's fundamentally a right-wing populist movement. And I've been saying for years that right-wing populism is the herpes of capitalism. It is the virus that's in the system. And at different points when the system weakens, the virus manifests itself in particular ways. That's what we've been seeing. As the system was weakened, particularly through neoliberal economics, and as the living standard stagnated for millions of people, and when white people started to conclude that it didn't pay to be white anymore, then we start to see the virulence of this right-wing populist movement. And all too many people have thought that by somehow ignoring race and by focusing only on economics and on the economic plight of everybody, that was going to bring us together. And that has simply failed. So in terms of where we go, I think that King pointed in a direction. There needs to be a fusion of the racial justice movement, with the economic justice movement, with the environmental justice movement, with the global justice movement, with the gender justice movement. There needs to be that fusion. And that's what political activists need to be thinking about. That's what we should be obsessing on.
Right. Well, Bill, quickly, as we close out, of course, you have have been on our affiliate in WPFW. You know how important it is on our stations to raise resources. A quick word about why people on Martin Luther King Day ought to contribute. We're raising money today for the Tower Fund here at WBAI. Your quick little thought about that.
Because no one else is going to do it. You know, I mean, I'm sick and tired of hearing people complain about, well, you know, the right wing has Fox News and they have this and they have that. The oppressor always has more money than the oppressed. There's never been a time in history when the oppressed could sit back and say, we have more money than the oppressor. We have to make use of the resources that we have. We have people, and we have people that can make contributions. And those contributions can be small or they can be large, but those are the contributions that we need to make in order to beat back the other side. No one is going to do it for us. There's no invisible country sitting in the middle of the Atlantic that's going to send waves of gold to us to sustain WBAI. It's going to be done because listeners like you decide, I'm going to get off the dime, literally, and I'm going to make a contribution.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Bill. And Earl, of course, you have to also, for your station, our affiliate, do the same thing. But help us out a little bit here on WBAI today.
Well, very simple. Do you want Pacifica or do you want Fox? Very simple. Do you want Pacifica or do you want Fox? And all of the whole right-wing echo chamber on the airways in this country. I mean, everywhere you go between California in New York, you see right where you hear right-wing talk radio layered over with Fox. Let's face it. Without Pacifica, what do you have? NPR is too milquetoast. PBS, too milquetoast. The only place you're going to hear a Ron Daniels and a Bill Fletcher consistently talking about the issues, and not only just talking about them, but giving direction to people. Where do we go? What can you do? Giving the marching orders. Without Pacifica, we're dead in the water.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Part of my dream team, I got to bring you back because we're in a crisis. Lord have mercy. We got some stuff to talk about of where we are and what is and is not being done by various political parties and formations and all that. So stand by because I'll be calling you back as my political dream team to give us some analysis. Earl Afari Hutchinson, thank you so much for joining us. And Bill
thank
Fletcher,
you.
Too, taking time out on this Martin Luther King Day. Thank you so much.
Thank
really
you very
appreciate
much.
It.
Take care.
All right. Take care.
All right, powerful, powerful stuff that we're laying down. Coming up next will be Dr. Ife Williams and Dr. Julianne Malvo shortly, but right now it's time for you to give, I hope. I hope you're going to give, right? I'm starting it off with $100. The last pledge drive we have, I can't remember what we were doing, but I pledged $100, sent it in, and I'm delighted that others joined me as well. We need to do the same thing today. And people will say, well, wait a minute, we keep asking because it's necessary. And we're only asking those who can give it, those who can afford it. We know that there's some people out there who cannot afford it, and that's one of the problems. Those of us who relatively have must stand up for those who have not. And I say relatively because I dare say that ain't none of us who are in this audience are part of the rich and the super rich and so forth. That ain't what I'm talking about. But some of us can. I'm relatively have. I don't have a whole lot of resources, but I relatively have. And therefore, I'm putting up $100 for the Tower Fund. The Tower Fund. Now, you can also go to towerfund.bai.org in order to make your contribution. Or you can easily call right now. People are standing by at 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950 to make your contribution. I would love to see, you know, I don't want to give a number, as many people as possible match my pledge. And I don't just blow smoke. When I say I'm doing it, I'm putting a check in the mail, or I will email it. I will go online and I will do it by way of the mechanisms that are set up. I put the money up. I mean, the reason I do that is because I want to set an example. So I want you to, as many people as possible, to give that $100 if you can, $100 for that tower fund, so that we're building the alternative, really. It's beyond the alternative to a Fox. I mean, Fox is sickening. It is pathetic. It is beyond those words. But we have to duel with them in terms of that transformative politics, that revolution of values that Martin Luther King stood for. And you need to get this premium. And the general manager was kind enough to say, Dr. Daniels, a professor, that people call in and make a contribution, we're going to make available this Martin Luther King, Vantage Point Agenda Pack for those who call in. And here's what's in it. I'm stumbling because there's so much good stuff in it. It is five CDs, Speeches of Dr. Martin Luther King, CD 1, From the Mountaintop, Interest into the Civil Rights Movement, Give Us the Vote, CD 2, Why I Opposed the War in Vietnam, that's what you where you hear this speech, Nobel Peace Speech, Address to the American Jewish Committee, A Preacher Leading the Flock, CD 3, Birth of a Nation, State Troopers Help Organize the Movement, Last Message, CD 4, this is the labor, straight up labor message at District 65 and Local 99. CD 5, After Selma, I Have a Dream. Wow, that is, I mean, anyone who calls in right now, calls in, donation of $25 or more, $25 or more, 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. That's the Vantage Point Martin Luther King Agenda Pack. Five CDs. Tell them you're calling to make your donation and you want that information. And you ought to be like holding teachings. I mean, yeah, take the day off and all that kind of stuff. You can't do it all day long. But take a part of the day and have a conversation with your family. Have a conversation with your family about these issues as a way of moving forward, if you will. Again, today we're really, really focusing on Martin Luther King's his call for a revolution of values. I've read the quote. You can, but beyond reading the quote, you can hear the quote, and you're hearing it all day here on WBAI 99.5 FM. We want to have the Tower Fund strong and healthy, so we're not worried about it. The general manager is not worried. The program manager is not. They're not tearing their hair out. They're not concerned about it, because we are supporting and doing what we need to do. That's the Vantage Point MLK Agenda Pack, 5 CD set that is being made available to you. Any contribution of $25 or more, and I put up $100 and ask other people to match it. I know there are people who can do that. Call 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. I'm saying 202 because my next guests are from the Washington, D.C. area. And we're looking forward to them joining us away as I shuffle my papers. And again, we really, 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 really want folks to come on board. So we are now joined by two amazing, amazing sisters, warrior women in the movement. As I said earlier, Dr. Julianne Malvo, she is the inaugural dean of the College of Ethnic Studies at Cal State LA. That's right. She is moving on up and out. So she's bi-coastal these days. And of course, none other than Dr. Ife Williams, the national president and CEO of the National Congress of Black Women. She hails from Washington, D.C. Dr. Malvo, welcome to Vantage Point.
Always a pleasure to be with you, my brother, and my sister, Faye.
Dr. Ife Williams, welcome to Vantage Point.
Not yet.
Oh, she's not there yet. Oh, okay. All right. I thought they were both there. Well, anyway, we'll start with you, Dr. Malvo. We read the quote, and Bill Fletcher and Earl of Farrell Hutchinson were both on, and really, really powerful conversation. And so just your reflection from your perspective on this day. And by the way, you and I were just chatting just earlier about, you know, how what it took to get this day. Some people forget that, you know, I mean, for years and years and years, people on this sometimes a very cold day on January 15th, that means on his actual birthday, thousands of black people would converge on Washington, D.C., or from Washington, D.C., to demand a holiday in the name of Dr. Martin Luther King. And it was spearheaded by someone that we also should always remember, and that is the Honorable John Conyers. But anyway, reflect, if you will, in terms of where we are and how you see us moving on this revolution of values from your perspective.
Well, first of all, thank you for the question. Thank you for the work you do, especially your convening and leadership with NARC, National African American Reparations Commission. And of course, as we know, we were indebted to the Honorable John Conyers for his leadership for more than 30 years of raising the issue up with H.R. 40. My fear, Dr. Daniels, is that we're moving backward. When you look at what's happening with voting rights, a colleague, Cora Berry, made the comment yesterday on Jonathan Capehart that people don't give you your rights. You're entitled to them. So when we're sitting here saying, give us our voting rights, it's not a gift. It's not a present. It's what we're entitled to. Dr. King talked directly about voting rights. He talked about all the ways that people tried to prevent us from having our voting rights. And here we are again, where tomorrow the voting rights legislation of the John Lewis Act and the other acts are likely to go down because Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin don't believe in voting rights. And it really raises a question about democracy. Have we ever really had a democracy? And the answer to that, of course, is no. We've never really adhered to the principle of one person, one vote. We've always sort of dealt with the Senate, which, of course, is undemocratic, a constitution, which, of course, is undemocratic. But what Dr. King left us with was tenacity, was resilience. My favorite King quote is, I have the audacity to believe that people everywhere can have three meals a day for their bodies, education and culture for their minds, peace and freedom for their spirits. And what we need for more of us, as you know, we talk about it all the time, is more audacity. We need some bold black people who are unafraid of dealing with the reality of injustice. Too many folks have been bought off. They are comfortable. They have good middle-class jobs. You know, you and me too, but that's not the point. But, you know, they're not prepared to rock the boat. You have to be prepared to lose everything. And that's what Dr. King did. And another thing, Dr. Daniels, that we have to remember about Dr. King is that he was a human being. What do I mean by that? People don't talk enough about the challenges of leadership. The fact is that the brother was depressed in the last part of his life. As a teenager, he twice attempted suicide. I'm not saying that to disparage him at all, but to say to my black men and black women, when you have mental health challenges, deal with them. Right. Because leadership is a heavy burden. I mean, I wonder how you do it. You go 24/7, you know, phone calls at 11 o'clock at night, et cetera. And a lot of us do it. But we have to take care of ourselves. Self-care is a revolutionary act. And that's one of the things that as I was reading about Dr. King this morning, I was left with for myself is reminding myself that self-care is revolution.
And you have devoted your life in so many ways of trying to aid and assist us as a political economist, certainly as an outstanding educator, and working on the National African American Reparations Commission, just making invaluable contributions there. But I'm wondering, you now are the inaugural dean of the College of Ethnic Studies at Cal State Los Angeles. And so how do you see yourself, because I know I've heard conversations with you about some of the things you're trying to do. How do you see that position as a way of bringing to life this revolution of values that Dr. King spoke so powerfully and eloquently about and lived and died for?
Well, the College of Ethnic Studies is about myth-busting. There's so many myths about our people, not just black people, our Latin American, Latino, Chicano brothers and sisters, our Asian American brothers and sisters, and
hello.
Plus myths. History, who holds the pen? The fact is that our history has been written by people who don't want to know the truth. And so our job in the College of Ethnic Studies is not only to teach the truth, but to basically amplify the truth so that people understand where we're coming from and what we're doing. There are so many things, as you know, that are just not written in our history. The whole issue that I write so much about in terms of economic envy. I mean, many people think that lynchings were because of rape. No, they were because too many black people had too much money. That's why Tulsa burned, not because anything happened. They said Dick Rowland raped Sarah Page. That was not the truth. They very quickly disabunked that myth, but that did not prevent crazed white people from going into the Greenwood area of Black Wall Street and just burning it down. So we have to bust the myth that all these people who say they don't like critical race theory, what they mean is they don't like the truth. Because critical race theory is not being taught K through 12. Critical race theory is a legal concept. But what is the truth is that our history books don't tell the truth. And so the College of Ethnic Studies is dedicated to truth telling. And if there's anybody listening who is interested in a master's degree in Chicano Latino Studies or Pan-African Studies, check me out. Julianne Malvo at calstatela.edu. Because we're looking for progressive students to come and join with us and learn with us and be joyful with us. And Ron, that's just one more thing I need to say. Depression, joy is an antidote to depression. Mm. Dr. King in his last days was very depressed. But you know, even enslaved people had joy, had moments of joy. And each of us has to find moments of joy, even as we struggle, like we struggle, and we must struggle, because we can't let this thing go. We can't let it go. They cannot give us our voting rights. Give us. No, it's not a gift. We're entitled to them.
And speaking of joy, that was what was so good, really, about having an artist like Stevie Wonder embrace the holiday and give us a joyous song, you know, an upbeat song, you know, for us to move it. And in fact, you could argue that the freedom songs were an antidote to depression, an antidote to fear, because those freedom songs ain't going to let nobody turn us around. All those, or even We Shall Overcome, all of these were kind of, if you will, in a way, anecdotes to that fear and that depression that can in fact, overcome you. And in fact, I've argued, I don't mean argue, I've submitted and suggested that people understand the Reverend Jesse Lewis Jackson in that context. Because people think when he says, keep hope alive, what is that? This sounds like a little trite phrase. No. Reverend Jesse Jackson is a genius. When he says keep hope alive, he understands that movements are not really born of despair. They are born out of optimism. They're born out of hope.
Yes.
And indeed, when you have hope, you will organize. In fact, it is Dr. King, when he leaves the March on Washington, he talks about faith and hope. He says, with this faith, with this hope, I return. And so that constantly needs, you know, to be reinforced, you know, as we're, you know, as we're moving forward. Wanted to just ask you about reparations and the struggle for reparations and how that fits within this struggle, you know, we're talking about voting rights. We're talking about the reform in the criminal justice system. But just how do you see reparations being situated in this overall struggle for the kind of revolution of values, the kind of new nation, a new kind of a different kind of society that Martin Luther King was talking about?
You know, Dr. King, basically, were he alive today, he would be a member of NARC. He wrote and talked affirmative action. He talked about what was owed to us. He once said the road to the economic highway is not paved for Negroes. Talking about the various barriers to economic success. He understood history, and so I think that when he looked at this, the wealth gap is a function of historical racism, historical discrimination. Reparations is a way to begin to close that gap, not only with monetary compensation, which we all talk about, but also in terms of repairing our people, repairing our psyches, rebuilding our institutions, reclaiming our newspapers. So when we look at it from that perspective, Dr. King would have been solidly in favor of the reparations struggle. And what troubles me is I'm very heartened by the increased number of folks who have embraced reparations. At the same time, I'm disturbed by the folks who have not. The number of black folks who just don't seem to get it. White folks don't get it. That's okay. But increasingly, we have white allies who do get it. We've got the fund for reparations. Now we've got people who are saying, yeah, this does make sense. But when our people don't embrace it, it's troubling. Right. When you looked at that 18% of African-American men, Dr. Daniels, voted for Donald Trump, WTF. Just WTF. Why?
Mm-hmm. Well, as we close out, one of the things that both Bill Fletcher and Earl O'Farrell Hutchinson talked about was the Fox News echo chamber, because we were talking about why it is that WPFW and WBAI and all of the Pacifica stations are so important. You have a show, and you might want to tell us about it, by the way. You've been associated with WPFW for many, many years, and you have other mediums by which you also get the word out. So just share with us, why is it important, not only on this day, but in general, for people to be supportive of the Pacifica stations? And today, of course, we're making the appeal for WBAI. So your thoughts, please.
So folks who are listening, please, first of all, make a pledge, give a contribution to WBAI. The Pacifica Network has been extremely important in amplifying voices. On Monday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern, which means I get up at 6 a.m. or 4 a.m., Western, Pacific time. But my show is called Malvo Exclamation Point. Why? Because I am an exclamation point. I claim that. I had a conversation with one of my mentors this morning, and she said, girl, have you got it through your head yet that you're an elder now and you just can't be acting all crazy? I said, I'm an elder bad girl. I'm going to be acting all crazy until I can't act crazy no more. But 89.3 FM, WPFW, FM.org. Monday mornings at 9 a.m. I hope you will listen. Also, I write a weekly column for the Black Press, and julianmalvo.com is where my columns show up. They also show up, as thanks to your grace, Brother Daniels, on the IBW website as well, ibw21.org. I am about social and economic justice. I'm about my people, and it's what I've been doing since I could breathe. My mom, God rest her soul, she left us this last June. But she used to remind me of the time I wrote a paper. I was in the eighth grade. I wrote a paper about apartheid. So I took black construction paper and white chalk and wrote unfair, and that was a cover to my report. And the teacher refused to accept it because she said that she had they have the little how you're supposed to do it with some type point and this and that and the other. And she wouldn't accept it, and I wouldn't change it. And my mama said, are you prepared to follow the sword for this? I said, what do you mean? She said, you can flunk that class. I said, no, I ain't, because you're going to go down there and fight for me.
Right.
So I come by it on it. And she did fight for me, and the woman had to take it. I did put a second sheet in that followed her specifications, but my construction paper, white chalk. Since I could breathe, I've been wondering why black people have been treated so unfairly, read the history, know the history, but know Lisa continue. The struggle continues. We have a lot of work to do.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Julianne Valmo. You know, Malvo, you know, we're joined at the hip. We've done so much work together over so many years, and we look forward to continuing to do that. And we hope people will tune into your program and all the work that you do. And thank you for supporting WBAI today by coming on and talking about the life and legacy of Martin Luther King in terms of the revolution of values that he advocated. Thank you so much for spending time with us today on Vantage Point.
Thank you. Keep up the good work, my brother. Talk to you soon.
All right. Okay, well, Dr. Ife Williams, we'll keep trying to call her. Maybe she's supposed to be standing by, so we hope that she, but she's busy too, and a bad sister. And she has, I forget her show on WPFW. I've been on it. It has a very provocative name as well, and she has a book out about Dick Gregory. And so she's just she's in the legacy of Shirley Chisholm. She is the organization she has. The National Congress of Black Women is an organization that she is the successor to Shirley Chisholm and others who headed that organization. I'm blanking on my dear beloved sister from Cedar Lawrence Tucker, someone I worked with for many years. But now let's get down to it, because we have a stretch to go in terms of getting these contributions in for the Tower Fund. And the general manager and program manager have been kind enough to make available the Vantage Point MLK Agenda Pack, which is five CDs, a five CD set. That 5-CD set includes CD 1, From the Mountaintop. That's the last speech that he made. What a powerful speech that was. Speech on interest into the civil rights movement. Give us the vote. Lord have mercy. We are fighting. I know we're going to be tangling with the audience. Some people don't believe in voting, but Lord have mercy. I hope I can persuade people this time we are going to kick some booty with the butt, with the vote. We're going to kick some booty with the vote because these people are trying to suppress us and stop us from voting, which tells us that's all you need to know. If they're trying to take it away, it's for a reason. So we're going to turn that around. Ain't the only thing we need to do, but that'll be so Martin Luther King talking about give us the vote. CD 2, Why Oppose the War in Vietnam, Nobel Peace Prize speech. That's right. He received the Nobel Peace Prize for his work. Addressed to the American Jewish Congress, a preacher leading his flock. CD 3, Birth of a Nation, state troopers help organize the movement. Last message. CD 4, Martin Luther King delivering powerful speeches. I was surprised to hear Bill Fletcher say it, but I actually agree with him. And Martin Luther King was perhaps the greatest labor leader of all time in these United States of America. Certainly 1199 SIU believed that. Ask me, Bill Lucy always talked about, you know, they embraced Martin Luther King because of his dedication to labor. In fact, when he went to Memphis, what was he doing? Sanitation workers, making sure that they had a right to have dignity and fair wages and fighting for an economic bill of rights with the call for an economic bill of rights as he was unfortunately assassinated. And then CD 5, After Selma, I Have a Dream, is a part of that package. Tremendous pack. But if we didn't have any premiums, but we'll make that one available to you. You just have to tell people Vantage Point MLK Agenda Pack. I'm going to get my pack because I'm doing $100. I'm putting $100, which is, you know, I try to contribute to every job. Every pledge drive, I contribute. Starting off with $100. I said that. Thank you. Thank you. We got some people who've already responded. That's a good thing. $100. We've got to go down the stretch here. I want to raise as much money as we possibly can for the Tower Fund. And actually, if you don't want to call, but you can, 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. The Tower Fund. WBAI.org is the other place that you can go on the internet. But put your calls in right now. That's maybe the easiest thing to do. And say, look, I heard the program. I heard the interview with Earl LaFari Hutchinson. I heard the interview with Dr. Julianne Malvo and Bill Fletcher talking about the revolution of values that Dr. Martin Luther King talked about in 1967, that incredible speech. In fact, Earl LaFari Hutchinson said one of the greatest speeches, if not the greatest oration in the history of these United States, comparing it with Frederick Douglass, who was another powerful, powerful orator. It's ironic that, in fact, it is going to be the rejected stones, those who were left out, locked out, marginalized, not just black people, but others who are going to rescue this democracy. And I ain't afraid to say that. Rescue it and make it what the hell it ought to be. That is our charge. That is our mission. We have the possibility to do that. And WBAI is not Fox News. We can have debates. We may disagree with each other, but we do not put out no damn false, alternative, cult-like nonsense. I mean, it's a tragedy. It's scary. It's frightening. And we have people who believe that which should not be believable at all. Thinking about the unthinkable is another way of doing it. So, folks, go to your phones right now. Please, 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Make a contribution of any amount. Any amount. I'm hoping that many of you will match my pledge, my donation of $100. If you can do it, $100, do it. There may be somebody out there who can give $1,000. There is somebody out there who can give $1,000. No question about it. Question is, will you do it? Will you sacrifice or commit? As Ralph Featherstone once said, he said, this is not a sacrifice. This is a commitment to the revolution. and Kwame Ture used to say, be ready for the revolution. Martin Luther King was ready for the revolution. He was at the forefront of the revolution. There were many others with him, women and men. But he was clear about the whole notion of, as he said, true compassion is more than flinging a coin at a beggar. It comes to understand that the edifice, translation system, that produces the homeless, the beggars, the locked out, those who are marginalized, underemployed, unemployed, homeless, miseducated, that system needs restructuring, needs to be rebuilt, it needs to be transformed. That's what we'd be about. That's what he was about. That's what we should all be about. And we need this pact will be important in terms of giving to your children, your family, so they can listen and hear King and talk about a debate. You might not agree with everything. You don't have to. Who agrees? Nobody agrees with everything, everyone about everything. But the essence of what he was about is so powerful in terms of how we need to move forward. So we thank you. Continue to move forward. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. How nice it would be if we learned that somebody did call and give us $1,000. Because there are people out there who can give $1,000. There are people out there who can give $500. There are people out among us who have the ability to do it. I'm just giving $100 today. That's what I can afford today. And I'm asking as many people as possible to match that. But there are others who may be able to do $50. There may be others who can give $75. There's others who out there who can give, and people are giving. We appreciate it. We appreciate you calling in because it is so necessary. It is so needed. And we can stand with proud. Do we have glitches and knots and warts? Yeah, we had a couple of glitches and knots today. I was exchanging information with some of my guests I have to bring on next week, and I told them. I said, I care. I don't mean I don't care. But that's all right, because WBAI and the Pacifica Network, for whatever its imperfections are, is still the best, the strongest. It is powerful. It is what we have in order to move this struggle forward. And we can always work hard to make it better. But it is the alternative. It is the fortress. It is the citadel of resistance and transformation in these United States of America. And that's what we invest in through all of the stations. And that's why I'm so glad that we were able to invite, again, you know, four people who are affiliated directly with our stations who have been with us today. But we just got 2 minutes left, 2 minutes left, 2 minutes left. Let's go to those phones, please. 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. Thank you. People are calling in. We really appreciate it. We thank you so much. What better thing than on actually this date to be contributing to the fund, the Tower Fund. And again, like I said, I'd like to be surprised. Somebody drop $1,000 and somebody drop $500. But if you can't do that, do 25. Do 25. A lot of 25s, 212-209-2950. Thank you. Some have given 225. Some have given 100. 212-209-2950. We really, really, really appreciate those who are calling in. And again, if you don't want to call in, if you want to do it online, you go to towerfund.wbai.org. Towerfund.wbai.org will get you your contribution and say you're doing it for Vantage Point and the Vantage Point MLK Agenda Pack, 5-CD set. I read it off. It has an incredible amount of information that you can share with your family, with your friends, have coffee clutches, chat and choose, conversation. Let's start educating each other. Let's start getting ourselves ready for the revolution, because we are in it. We are in it. We are they who are going to change the face of this nation because of where we've come from and who we be, and because of people like the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, who sacrificed and bled and died and gave his life that we might live. 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, or go to towerfund.wbai.org. This is the Professor, Dr. Ron Daniels. We'll see you again here again next week on Vantage Point, being ready for the revolution. Adam, day in your salary.